How's everybody going? My name is Selwyn, host of the Mindset Toolkit podcast, and I'll be bringing you a quick Lessons of the Day episode where I review some items that I've learned over the last couple of days and distill them down into talking points that can be added to your toolkit. So, here we go. The first couple of points come from the Tony Robbins podcast's interview with Dan Heath, where he talks about meaningful moments and how we can create meaningful moments in our life. And not only does he address creating new meaningful moments, but kind of reframing and reshaping past moments to turn them into more positive experiences. When we create a meaningful moment, we're basically assigning our own meaning to that moment, and that frames the tone of the memory. Secondly, we assign an emotion to the memory, and that feeling of the emotion is what we remember. So in order to reframe a moment, we need to change the feeling attached to it because that emotion is the anchor to that memory. And defining moments are both memorable and meaningful. And what the cool thing that he discovered was that a lot of people's positive defining moments all have similar traits, so we can define these moments, but more importantly, we can create these moments. And there are four common traits that positive experiences all share. Trait number one is that it's elevation. What this means is that the experience rises above the everyday, and you almost feel absorbed in the action. You're completely immersed. Think about the last time you forgot that time existed. You were so enthralled and so captivated in doing something that time ceased to exist. You were kind of in the moment, what people call the flow state. Whether that be, I mean, you could simply be watching a movie, talking to somebody, driving somewhere. And it's this rising above the everyday tasks that we do normally that changes that moment. The second one is insight, and this is abrupt realizations or transformations. So when you suddenly realize something, you suddenly learn something, something clicks and it falls into place, the penny drops as it were, you're like, oh, a moment of insight. And that's another thing that a positive experience will remember. The third point is pride, and this is where we're at our best. You win at a competition, you scored well in a test, something great happened to your relationship, something where you could really be proud and boast about. And that is, again, something positive that sticks in our head. And the fourth element is connection. And this is between individuals as well as between groups. So if you were a competitive sports team and you won the grand final, not only did you win the grand final, but the whole team won the grand final, and everyone in that team feels connected really strongly to that point. It's like a shared experience where everyone can reminisce, and it really sets a keystone memory in your brain to recall that moment of not only your excellence, but everyone else's excellence at that time. So in order to reframe past experiences, kind of drag out these four common elements that may or have existed in your past memories, but maybe you don't remember them that way. Try and reframe your recollections of the past, and also look at putting these four lenses on things that happen to you throughout the day so that you can start creating positive experiences, so your brain kind of reframes and reshapes how it sees the world into a more positive light rather than the mundane and negative. And studies have shown that we don't remember the average of our experiences. We remember the highlights and the lowlights, as well as the ending, funnily enough. So even if you're only happy 10% of the time, if there were extreme high or low peaks, that's what you'll really remember. There are other studies where it shows something like divorces. You'll see the people will really hate the marriage when, just say it was a 10-year marriage and it ended in divorce. The recollections of that marriage won't be pleasant for the most part because it ended on such a low note. But people forget that there was 10 years of happiness, or maybe even if it was 5 years, let's just say there was still, on average, that experience as a whole was positive, however it ended poorly. So people recall the ending more than they recall the average of the experiences. And this will also apply to highs and lows throughout that time frame. So you want to kind of pick the peaks of the experience and focus on those so that you can recall moments in the past as being positive, or at least you'll remember them fondly so that you don't look back in regret, since you can't change the past. Definitely learn from the past, but I wouldn't dwell and wallow in pity because it's already changed. The whole saying, there's no use crying over spilt milk. So reframe how you see the past so that it is a positive and learning experience. And it can also set you up for future failure if you don't reframe the past correctly. So for people that had a marriage that ended badly, maybe they resolve to never get married in the future and close themselves off, whereas that's probably not the healthiest solution, where you would probably want to open yourself up again to those emotions in the future so that you can experience that happiness again. Where it was one point in time that caused a negative emotion, it shouldn't hold you back from experiencing positive emotions in the future. Another thing to look out for is scripting. So there's nothing memorable about scripting your life. We've all experienced this when, say, we drive to work the same way and we sometimes forget how we got there because it's such an automated experience for our brain that we're almost going autopilot. And that might be fine for the drive. I mean, it's arguable, but it might be fine for the mundane tasks that we do that we kind of forget them and let them automate in our brain. But we don't want our whole lives to be automated. We don't want our whole lives to follow a script that's A, B, C. It removes that memorable moments. When you go through a workday and nothing great's happened, the day is pretty much non-existent in your memory. Nothing good, nothing bad happened. It was very much mediocre, and you did everything you did the same day you did it before. So what type of life are you creating if every day is a day of scriptedness and mundaneity, whatever that word is? You need to look at creating excitement and creating purpose and passion, which are both important, because they've shown that people who embrace their purpose are more effective. The old analogy goes, if there are three builders building a church, or bricklayers, sorry, then they ask each bricklayer what they were doing. The first one replies, "Oh, I'm just putting bricks down." The second one replies, "Oh, we're building a building." And he was slightly happier. And then the final guy replies that we're building a church that will help serve the people and has a true purpose. Now, regardless of what your views are of religion, the lesson flows through that if you're simply laying down bricks, your purpose and passion isn't there. You can find purpose and passion in anything. And even if you can't, you put that purpose and passion in there for yourself. It might not be serving a greater cause, but it has to serve you at the very least. Even if you are laying bricks, put purpose into your brick laying. It might not be for the best cause. It might not be for any cause. But if you can find a purpose and passion in the little things that you do every day, then that will help you, at the very least, create a better life for yourself. And the next set of points come from the MFCEO Project's interview with Ryan Mikula, and he talks about taking ownership of your life. And the first point to start off with is that everyone's on a hero's journey, and the quintessential hero's journey is like what we see in all the movies, where you have the hero and he undergoes a journey of change, finds adversity, overcomes adversity, and generally becomes a better person at the end of the day. Because everyone's fighting an internal battle, regardless of their life situations, where they are, what they're doing. It's not necessarily a violent battle in the quintessential essence of the word battle, but everyone's fighting their own internal fights. And most people fail to recognize that they're facing an internal battle. And the most important thing you can do is to discover internally what that battle is that you're facing. Is it self-sabotage? Are you weak? Are you lazy? Are you uninspired? Things like that, unmotivated. Because it's these internal battles that we truly struggle with, because we can have all of the external forces bent down upon us. But if we're also fighting the internal battle, we're fighting the battle on both sides. And that really drains our energy. And if we can at least be safe internally, we can really attack the outside. And this comes down to, you have to really be honest with yourself. You have to set time and really analyze yourself and find out what's wrong in your life and take ownership and take action in order to fix it. Because to address any problem, you must first recognize you have a problem. And once you realize that there's a problem, the next step is to own that problem. And that means that you realize it's your own fault, and by taking that ownership. It means that you can fix it because you got yourself in there in the first place. And what happens is when you fail to kind of address these internal problems, what happens is you face the same external problems over and over and over again until you address the internal one, because your physical reality is a manifestation of your internal mindset, right? What you think is how you see the world. The world is how you frame it. And if you fail to address these internal battles you're facing, you can become bitter as we age. And it's like a subconscious bitterness that, I mean, we've all seen, I mean, we've all met that older people that might be described as salty, and they're just aged and bitter. And because what happens is it's little tedious things over the course of a day, and these days accumulate to weeks, months, years, and decades. These accumulate over the lifetime, and every time this happens, it's reinforcing the fact that you're not living the life that you ultimately want to be living, which isn't necessarily like a click in that day, oh, okay, I know that I'm not living life. It's this slow subconscious accumulation of reinforcing bitterness that your life isn't what you want it to be. And if you're not acknowledging that, there's only one way to it that manifests, and that's that, oh, the world sucks and everything sucks. And the problem is you get stuck in a rut, and it just over and over and over, and it accumulates over time. And it's hard to find that release when all you've done is dig yourself further and further into this ditch ever so slowly. So you don't really truly notice that you're sliding ever so slowly into a ditch until you realize you're in this deep well of bitterness and unfulfillment. And what happens is that each day that this happens, you really need to set aside time to address the problem and to reflect and discover who you are and that you do really have a problem. Because a lot of the time, what do we have? A crummy day at work, and then the last thing you want to do is do some self-analysis and reflect when you get home. Most people either crack open a beer, watch some TV, do something that is simply masking the problem. We're escaping out of the reality that we've created ourselves, and we can see how this creates a terrible cycle. We're living a life that we don't want to live, and then when we have time to ourselves, we escape the life that we're living by living someone else's life and never addressing the problems that we have. And then this accumulates, because the next day we do the exact same thing over and over again because we've never found a solution to get us out of this hole. And stagnation isn't simply staying in one point. In a life, stagnation is negative. It's actually a bad thing, because you can't ever stagnate in life. When you stagnate in life, you're in effect falling down in life, because we forget that we have a finite time on this planet. So by stagnating, you're actually getting closer and closer to the day that we're no longer here, and having less and less time to live the life that we truly want to live. So with this escapism that we all want, and I mean, yes, whatever, we need to relax, but I think it's masking the problem. It's a band-aid solution to say that you're relaxing when you've never had the opportunity to fix the problem that would cause you to need to relax in the first place. If you create the life that you want to live and you start living that life that you want to live, you won't really need a vacation from that. Now, I know that that's all easy and airy-fairy, something to say that might not actually apply to someone in the real world, but I think if you even gave 5 minutes of your time to analyze yourself and reflect on where you are in your life, and if you're truly living the life that you want to live, it might let you spend that 6th minute doing something to take action. Even if it's a second, just think and reflect as to what you're doing. Because without thinking where you are, you're just mindlessly trudging through life. And if we go up back to the Dan Heath interview, it's you then start living in automation. I automate to go to work, I automate to get home, and then I automate to eat and watch TV, and then I sleep, and then I do it all over again. What have you achieved in the day? You've done something for somebody else that you say you don't like to do, and then you have time to do stuff, and you don't do anything other than sit down and not achieve anything. Now, you don't have to go out and conquer the world, but at the very least, think back at your life and look at what you're wanting to change. Do you even know what you want? You know what you don't want. A lot of people know that they don't want to do what they're doing, but they don't know what the alternative answer is. And that only comes from you looking inwards. Because if our external reality is a manifestation of our internal thoughts, if we're always thinking the world sucks, and the world's going to suck because we say it does. And if you have only 5 minutes, one thing you can do is think and analyze your actions. Analyze what could you do. You don't have to come up with an answer in that day or in that 5 minutes. But something as little as 5 minutes over the course of a week, that's a half hour. That's a half hour of your life over the course of a week that you've dedicated to yourself, which isn't a lot of time. And if you don't have time for that, then I mean, there's really no help, because you can't set aside 5 minutes. That's not even an hour. That's less time that you spend exercising. Pick three tactics that you can do every single day that can allow you to reach your short-term goals. So within this 5 minutes, think of three things that you can do every day that'll help you get to a short-term goal of 90 days. It might not be the right thing for you to do, but it's putting you in forward motion. And the worst thing you can do is not have any forward motion towards anything. Whether that be, I'm gonna pick three things. I'm gonna not eat junk food, I'm gonna drink more water, and I'm gonna try and sleep better. These are three things you can do every single day. Now, they may not get you into the better career that you wanna do, start living the life you wanna live, but they're three small things that after 90 days will prove to you that you can do something. You have control over your life. And the minute you realize that you have control over your life is the minute you realize that you can live the life that you want to live, because you're in control of your actions and the results are only there because of your actions. Control the actions and you control your life. So that's all I have for today. So go out and use it. This has been Selwyn on a quick episode of Lessons of the Day from the Mindset Toolkit podcast. Thanks for your time. And remember, what you learned today will serve you tomorrow. So go out and go get it.